anyone else? We're just a few minutes ahead of time, but just checking.
I can get started if the court is
ready. All right. All right. With that said, I'll ask our marshal to call the next case for argument.
Calling case number A221606, Zimmer versus Pine Lake Township.
Both of you will have 15 minutes for your primary argument. 5 minutes will be reserved to you, Mr. Mack, for rebuttal if you choose to use that. Please pay attention to the clock timer. It's on the upper left-hand corner of my screen. I'm not sure where it appears on yours. Also, a reminder to introduce yourself and indicate, excuse me, which party you're speaking on behalf of before your remarks. And Mr. Mack, you have the floor.
John Mack for appellant. Let me begin with respondent's most important argument, or at least the one that I think is most important, namely that a township should not have to adopt a substandard road. There are many reasons why I think that this is incorrect. A township has some duties to the health and safety of its residents. A township should not want a substandard road in its jurisdiction. If a substandard road is not a town road, there is relatively little that the township can immediately do about it. There should not be a public road in a township over which nobody has control. In this case, for example, suppose that the road is very bad. And I think there's some evidence that this one is. Who can do anything about it? The township can't do very much. It can bring an action, I suppose, for nuisance, but that's about it. My client can't do anything about it because he doesn't own it. There are probably dozens, maybe even hundreds of these public roads that are sitting around the case of in northern Minnesota. And right now, we don't know what the status of them really is. There's a lot of dicta. I, of course, cited the Red Rock case, but also in my supplementary admissions, I submitted about 5 or 6 other cases which deal with the issue of when a road becomes a township road. And the issue is here, what are we going to do about these things? It seems to me, for example,
Mr. Mack, I wanted to give you a hypothetical. So let's say I own a piece of land, and it turns out that on 1 acre of the land, there's environmental problems. And I say, well, I'm just going to give that land to the county or the city, you know, because I don't want it anymore. And I certainly don't want it with environmental problems. And does the county or the city or whatever government body I'm giving it to, do they have to accept it?
Not unless it's a road. They have to accept it if it's a road and there has been public user for a reasonable period of time. If it's just a swamp, no, of course they don't.
And what's your authority? I mean, it seems like the city might have taken the road in this case, you know, provided it was sort of up, you know, up to snuff. Why can't they condition their acceptance on that? Why can't they say, we'll take it as long as you, you know, do this, do that, the other thing, and then it'll be our problem? I guess I don't see the problem.
I think
that seems like a reasonable thing to happen. Otherwise, everyone would be dumping their stuff on whatever local, you know, governmental entity it is and saying, well, now you fix it.
Well,
and the city's saying, well, we'll be happy to maintain it, but you've got to get it to this certain level first. And why is that illegal?
I think the problem is that they've already accepted it if they've had 1, dedication, and 2, they've had user. And it seems to me, therefore, that Red Rock is, were it not dicta, directly in point. It says, town roads includes those roads and cartways which have heretofore been or hereafter may be established, constructed, or improved under the established, constructed, or improvement by counties that at least 1 year prior to July 157, and all roads lying within the town established by user. I have to say to the court that it has to distinguish between roads, which already we have a great deal of authority on, all of it dicta, unfortunately, and any other kind of environmental problem. For example, and by the way, I wanted to indicate to this, I think this should be a published decision, in my opinion, because two reasons. One, we have a great deal of dicta on this, but nobody has authoritatively said whether or not a town road is established by dedication and user. And the other reason is, it seems to me, that this has statewide implications, because there are dozens, perhaps hundreds of these things floating around that are neither fish nor fowl. Now, so, this case is supported, for example, by the Neal decision. Evidence is sufficient, and I'm quoting here, to establish common law dedication of an alley. There is also testimony that it has been used by the public continuously from 1913 to 1938, and the city of Rochester at times plowed and graveled it. There is no evidence, of course, that it's ever been vacated by the city. Now, I think a very important series of cases is set forth in Bankston versus Marine on St. Croix, which is 246 Northwest 2nd 582, because this cites in the middle of it about five cases that say that a public road may be established not only pursuant to 160.05 by statutory dedication, but also by common law dedication. And it cites Bozell versus Ramestead, and these cases are cited.
I'd like to sort of follow up on my hypothesis.
Sure.
Let's say this road that I want to give the city or the county has environmental problems on it.
Yeah.
And let's say, you know, there's no evidence that it has been plowed by the city or used by the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dedicate this road by plat and say, okay, city, now it's your problem. Can the city say, okay, but you got to get rid of all the environmental stuff under the road first before we accept it? Can the city do that?
Not if it's been accepted by user, but what the city can do.
When you say accepted by user, I assume you mean the city is doing something to indicate that someone other than you is using it, or that the city is maintaining it somehow, and then therefore they've accepted the dedication.
No, I think you accept it by user if for a considerable period of time cars have been driving up and down that road, that the public has been using it in the way that the public would ordinarily use a road, in this case, driving on it. I think it's fairly clear, and Mr. Bayless makes the argument correctly, that you do not accept, the township does not accept a road simply because it's dedicated to the public. But there also has to be public user. Now, I don't think it's...
Mr. Mack, let me ask you a question. You know, you volunteered or suggested that this be a presidential opinion. What would you suggest as a syllabus point?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Well, I understood that you thought it would be important that we publish a decision.
Yes.
A presidential decision in our present language. What would the syllabus point be?
Well, the syllabus point would be, does the public, does a road become a township road or a government road by one, dedication, and two, by public user? If I understand your question. To go on, the issue in this case, in addition, is supported by the William Mitchell Law Review, which considers a better rule to be that dedication plus user automatically causes a road to become a township road in this case. Now, one of the questions that the court may have is, what do we do if I'm right and we send it back to the district court? Do we have a trial on this, or do we win on our summary judgment motions, because we made cross summary judgments motions? Perhaps the only question that would be for a court or a jury, in this case, probably a court, is whether there has been sufficient public user to constitute public user under the Red Rock dicta. But other than that, I think that this case is one for summary judgment for either the plaintiff or for the defendants, because I don't think it's really contested that for many years now, cars have been going up and down this road. I would submit, too, that in addition to the various dicta that we have from the Minnesota Supreme Court, the legislature favors public roads becoming town roads or county roads, as the case may be. Minnesota Statute 160.05 is an indication of how user can cause a user of private property to become a, for example, city road, town road, county road. Minnesota Statute 115.05 also tends to back this up. We're not saying that we're basically...
Mac, I had a follow-up question on the user road. Respondents arguing that you waived that argument. What's your response to that?
Waiving what argument?
The user road. That you've waived that argument.
No, we did waive an argument on the direct application of 160.05, but we certainly didn't waive the argument that it became a common law town road. We also said that we're not standing on 115.05, but we're saying that this is important to look at by analogy, because it indicates that the legislature favors government roads over private roads if there's been user. One or more owners may dedicate land for a road or cartway by making application therefor, but it also indicates that when so declared, the land shall be deemed duly dedicated for the purpose expressed in the application. So this indicates once again that user can cause certain areas of private land to become public roads and to become government roads. I think the most important single thing in this case is that we don't want a bunch of these things sitting around that nobody has authority over. Let's go back, Judge Connolly, to your indication that there's some severe environmental problems or there's some other issues with the road. What can the township do? Well, it can declare a nuisance.
They can tell you to fix it.
Yeah.
And then sure. When you do, we'll take the road. I mean, the alternative is everybody's going to be dumping their stuff on the city because it's expensive either to get the road up to grade or there's environmental problems on it or there's some water issue. I mean, I fail to see, you know, how the world is going to end if the city conditions its acceptance of these things by, you know, doing stuff. Well, why am I wrong, Mr.
Two things. One, in most of these cases, it's going to be a developer. And when it's a developer, the township has every right to say, we aren't going to accept your plat unless you bring this thing up to snuff. But where you have these things that are perhaps old deer paths or anything like that, the county actually can say, okay, bring it up to snuff, or we aren't going to do anything about it. But say the owner says, I'm not going to do anything about it. What can the county do? Well, what can the township do? Arguably, it can bring an action and nuisance, but that's a couple years down the pike. Much easier for the township to accept the road, consider it a township road, and then it would have the authority to fix it up itself. And the other thing it could probably do is bill the property owner for it. Say, for example, we have a cruddy road here, which we may have. What can my client do to bring it up to snuff? He can't do anything about it because he doesn't own the road. The township, however, if it has authority over it, does own the road. Own is, of course, not quite right. And the township can bring it up to standards. My client really can't. He doesn't own the road. There are six or seven other people on the road. All of these people presumably would have to concur to allow my client to fix it up. So my client isn't in a position to fix up the road either, unless it's a township road, in which case the township can go ahead, fix it up, and probably bill somebody for it. So that's basically my argument. I think it's important to the court to look at all these cases and really think to itself how important this case is.
Thank you, Mr. Mack. We'll turn to you, Mr. Bayless.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Ken Bayless and I represent Pine Lake Township. The law of roads in the state of Minnesota is not like an elegant skyscraper. It's kind of like a junk sculpture at the Franconia Sculpture Garden. It's very complicated and it has all kinds of different moving parts. And what Attorney Mack is asking the court to do is to basically upend the entirety of this complicated scheme for how we deal with roads in the state of Minnesota. The particular issue here is whether or not the governmental entity has an obligation to maintain a road at the time that it actually becomes a road. Now, there's no doubt that this is a road. The case law teaches us that, for instance, when a plat is made and the dedicator dedicates a plat, those plats, those roads that are depicted on the plat become roads, which is a question that's totally separate from the question of whether the governmental entity has an obligation to maintain those roads. And the same principle applies to common law dedication. So common law dedication existed before statutory dedication, the six-year rule in 160.05, and just basically dealt in territorial days and in Minnesota's early history with the question of when do you have a road that the public can use and what are the rules? In 150 years, no case in the history of the state of Minnesota has held that a governmental entity has an obligation to maintain a road simply because the public has a right to pass on the road. Those are two different things. The courts have always treated them as different things, and they've said so expressly. First of all, if you look at the cases cited on page 18 of my brief, including the Red Rock, also called the Suburban Estates case, you can see that they say that, that there's a difference between it being a public road and the governmental entity having an obligation to maintain it. Now, it would be ironic indeed if we take this 150-year-old doctrine and engraft onto it a new principle of law that there's an obligation of the governmental entity to automatically maintain it as soon as the public starts using it, because that would basically be an end around all the intervening law that we have in the state of Minnesota that pertains to roads. Why would I need to petition the governmental entity to build a road when I can just dedicate it to the public and it automatically becomes a road that they have an obligation to maintain? There's no good reason that you would do that. So basically, what is being suggested is we take the entire edifice of road law in the state of Minnesota and cast it to the ground. The case law is clear. There's 100 years of cases saying that a governmental entity does not have an obligation to take on that maintenance obligation until it decides to do it. And sometimes it can wait more than 100 years. This has been repeatedly affirmed. And that's the issue presented here. And there's no reason that the court should or could interfere with this longstanding rule of the Minnesota Supreme Court, as articulated in Bolin v. Glass, as articulated in Suburban Estates. And I think they articulated it again about 2 weeks ago in a case called Maratska. So there's no reason to adopt a new principle of law. The governmental entity has the right to take on the maintenance obligation in its own time.
Mr. Bayless, is the law clear? Let's say I agree with you and the panel agrees with you. Is the law clear that that the city can, or governmental entity, can condition acceptance of the dedication on requiring the plaintiff, or excuse me, the road giver to fix it up or put some condition on it? I mean, whatever that could be. Is the law clear that's clear?
It is clear. If they want to say that if you bring it up to snuff, then it becomes a road, or we'll consider your application, they can do that. And that was done here. The township board told Mr. Zimmer repeatedly that if he brought the road up to the township road standards, that they would do that. And why would anyone bring roads up to town, spend the money to bring their roads, whether they be a developer, whether they be a citizen who wants access, why would they spend that money when they could simply foist it on the governmental entity under Mr. Mack's regime? So we think the decision below was correct. We asked the court to affirm, and we don't know that this requires a published decision because it's simply the trial court's decision is in accordance with longstanding court precedent. If the court has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, my argument is concluded.
What is, Mr. Bayless, what is the best case that says the city can condition acceptance on making the road dedicator do something? What is your best case that says that? I see a lot of cases that say they don't have to accept it. I'm not so sure I saw a lot of cases that say, you know, do something before we will, and that we have the right to do that.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm not sure there's a case that says that directly, but the essence of the discretion that the governmental entity has is legislative. So if in their legislative wisdom, they decide that that's what they want in order to accept it, they could certainly do that, I would assume. Any further questions?
Here's not, Mr. Bayless. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Mr. Mack, anything else?
Yes. First, Mr. Bayless indicates that a township or other governmental entity should not have to accept a road simply because it is dedicated. I would agree with that, but it isn't simply dedication that makes a road a common law road. It's acceptance together with public user, and it's public user that is really the essence of our case. Consider, too, a second issue that I think is very important. He says, well, does a township or other government entity have the right to require somebody to bring a road up to snuff? The problem is the ability to bring the road up to snuff. In the case of Plantain Trail, I think there are about 8 to 10 houses on it. And so we don't own Plantain Trail, and we don't have the ability to bring it up to snuff unless everybody on that road agrees that you can bring it up to snuff. And that's really the problem with the issue that Mr. Bayless is bringing up. No governmental authority or no private authority really has authority over that road unless it becomes a township road. Before it becomes a township road, the trail could become virtually impassable and nobody could do anything about it without unanimous consent. Now, with regard to the cases, I think it's very important that the case of Bengston versus Marine on St. Croix, 246 Northwest 2nd 582, be looked at, and particularly the middle of the case where it says, and I'm quoting now, a public road may be established not only pursuant to MnStat 160.05 or MnStat 164.15, but also by common law dedication, citing Bozell versus Ranistad, 33 Northwest 2nd 40. The elements of common law dedication of a roadway are: one, the landowner's intent expressed or implied to have his land appropriated and devoted to public use, and acceptance of that use by the public, citing Doherty versus Sowers, 68 Northwest 2nd 866, Kiter versus Berge, 18 Northwest 2nd 35. Common user by the public is the very highest kind of evidence of public acceptance of dedication. Flynn versus Bizell, 102 Northwest 2nd 284. Morse versus Zizey, 24 Northwest 287 and 288. So there is a long line of case law indicating that dedication plus user equals a common law dedication. There's nothing that Mr. Bayless cited in the statutes that contradicts this. He's right that common law dedication precedes all these statutes. And he's also right that all of these statutes make a very complicated web with regard to the public use of roads and the government use of roads. But nothing in these cases overrules the long-standing common law principles. In fact, some of these cases, like, for example, Bankston, are fairly recent. So I submit that the law is, while complicated, very clear in dicta. And I think that it's good dicta because we should have somebody responsible for these roads. And right now, it becomes very, very difficult for these public roads, which are maybe governmental, maybe not governmental, to get fixed. Now, remember that this is only slightly a maintenance case. The real case here is basically a declaratory judgment. And the declaratory judgment is declaring that this is a township road, because once we have a declaration that it's a township road, then a number of other statutes apply, and the township automatically has a duty to maintain it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mack and Mr. Bayless, for appearing on our Zoom platform today. The matters are deemed submitted. A decision will be issued in the statutory timeframe.